It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are joined by former Lockport Mayor Michelle Roman. She is running for the 144th Assembly District. You heard her opponent, Paul Bologna, last week here in the same time slot. See how we do that on Hardline? Michelle, welcome to Hardline.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you were former mayor of Lockport. Give the folks an idea of your time as mayor.
So my sons, who are grown adults, asked me to run for something because they love living here. And they want to be able to live here forever. And they want people to get involved that actually care about the community and have an investment in the community. So that's why I ran. And the former mayor resigned with her term still having a year and a half left. So there was a special election. And I was asked to run in that special election. And I won in 2018. And I served her final year in 2019. And during that year, I had to run for another four-year term. So I won that election as well in 2019. And then I finished that term at the end of December of 2023. And during that time, we did had a lot of accomplishments and a lot of challenges that we met through storms. And we had a major flood. We had the blizzard. We had COVID. And we got our finances situated even through all of that. There are a lot of communities that are talking about double-digit tax increases because they didn't utilize the COVID funds in the best way possible. We do not have that situation in Lockport. We were able to reduce the tax rate and improve infrastructure. We got millions in grants. We brought back public ambulance because everybody was struggling with emergency response services. The ambulance companies surrounding us kept begging me to bring back the ambulance, so we were able to get that done. We brought back firefighters that we legally had to bring back without raising taxes, and updated a lot of just general policies that impact everyday life, like noise ordinance that people really wanted updated, and we were working on updating the comprehensive plan and the zoning code, and that I couldn't finish, but so all those things are things that we worked on so that Lockport could continue to be a place that everybody wanted to live, work, and play.
Now, obviously, Lockport, the urban part of the 144th district, but you know, there's a lot to that district. There's a lot of rural. There's the city of Lockport. When you look at the 144th right now, Mike Norris is the assemblyman. What is something that you think, or what's something that you would focus on as a member of the assembly representing the 144th?
Well, I know that the main things that I hear when I'm talking to people, I go all over the place. I go to community events and organizations, and many people talk about the taxes, obviously. So we have to figure out a way, but they also want services. So you have to figure out a way to have the taxation be fair and representative of the actual people in the state and the corporations and those kinds of things. And then smart growth. Like, a lot of people in the rural areas are worried about overdevelopment or development that doesn't take into account the actual kind of land they're developing on, and rural agricultural things. And it's funny that you say the city of Lockport's the urban center, but it has a lot of rural areas. We have farming in the city.
Right.
So it's not like a typical city of Buffalo type thing. It's a population of 23,000. Yes, it's urban compared to the rural communities surrounding us, and we're the big hub sometimes instead of going all the way to Buffalo or Rochester or Niagara Falls.
It's funny because I think of Lockport, I just think of, you drive down transit, oh, there's Lockport. Now, some of the big issues facing New York State. Obviously, here at the Odyssey Studios, we are less than a mile from the Red Roof Inn, housing migrants. And, you know, that's been such a big issue on the national stage that did come to New York. Where do you stand on New York's place in that with the issues at the border?
So when the immigrants started coming to New York, they've always come to New York, by the way. We've been a hub. My My husband is a first-generation American. His father came from Poland, and his mother came from Scotland. They came together on the boat after World War II. And so it's not something that's new. But when we were having the issues of the numbers that were coming in, we met with Governor Hochul on the phone, all of the mayors of all the communities across the state, and supervisors, town supervisors, and she asked if any municipalities or townships were willing to take on any into their communities. And there were some that said yes, they help our economy grow, and we need workers, and a lot of businesses would like workers. And what my response to her was, we would love to help, but we have a lot that we're still struggling with on our own, and we have a growing issue with homelessness, and until we can get our current residents and community members figure that out, how to support them the best we can before we take on more. So it's a complicated issue, so I'm not going to say I'm for or against it. I'm for helping whoever needs help if it's in a way that doesn't harm those around them.
So in the assembly, because this was a big part of the budget, was the $2.5 billion, I think that number's correct, that are going to help with the issue, the migrant issue in the state. Is that something that you would support, that money being allocated for that?
It depends on how it actually is used. That's a very large number, but oftentimes when you're talking numbers like that, you're not seeing the full effect of the actual benefits of helping others, right? So it depends on how it's used. A lot of times New York State has some great ideas, and then the execution of it is done so horribly that it ruins the benefits of it, or makes it so that it makes people not understand what was the whole point of it. So
you sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It depends on how it's rolled out and if it's done right.
Your opponent was in here last week, and he was talking about the goal to go without gas, to, you know, go all electric, and the effects that would have on the 144th, his words, in the 144th. How do you view that, the state's push to go all electric and get away from fossil fuels?
So I understand that we have a climate issue. Like I said before, I've dealt with major flooding. Our area gets flooded all the time. All of that is impacted. And the Lake Ontario, the rising of Lake Ontario, all of those things are things that we have to address. And that is a direct result of climate. So, but again, the rollout and the way that they're doing it doesn't necessarily make sense. Like, why can't we have a hybrid system and reduce our use of fossil fuels? But there are some cases where it's necessary. Like our local volunteer firefighters are worried that they're going to make them go to all electric engines, and they won't have the capacity to actually do all the things they need to do when they're on a fire scene. Or do we have to have better technology and better infrastructure to meet the demand? Like, once those things are in place, like, I'm all for it. They didn't put it in yet, but we got grants for electric charging stations for vehicles, and we put in LED lights, and there are ways that you can go about this without terrifying everybody and saying you'll never have a gas stove again. Or how are people paying for the new furnaces and the new heating? You know, thermal heating is not cheap. So those kinds of things really have to be thought out before you just say a deadline.
Now, you know, as mayor of Lockport, you have to be pretty moderate to win Lockport as a Democrat, right?
Yeah.
What are some things, if anything, when you look at the assembly, that you might be in the minority of your party in Albany?
Well, number one is the climate thing.
Right.
and the other issue that I'm in the minority with is the bail reform. I work directly with the police departments, the sheriff departments, and the community members who were not happy with how bail reform. So some of the changes that they made are good changes to improve it. What it's devastating, the things that happen, right, that create these laws and make these changes. The problem is they go from one extreme to another extreme without understanding that each area of New York is distinct. And even though there's a lot of commonalities, there are things that happen for us that are way different than what's happening in New York City and Rikers Island and those kinds of things. Like, so that's another area that people in my party are like, what?
Now, you talked about talking with farmers and the fact that when you were mayor, you had farmers right there in Lockport, and this district has a lot of farmers. You mentioned the electric, the all move to electric would obviously, at the point of the technology today, would be devastating. Anything else the farmers are saying that they're not getting heard by the state?
Well, I know that we have to reform some of the tax law, like the inheritance tax and those kinds of things. It's not helping them keep their farms as family farms. And if you combine the two, some farms want solar to be done in a certain part of their farm. And there are this whole group of people who are anti-wind, anti-solar, but they want it so that they can maintain their family farm as a family farm and not be overtaken or lose the farm and have it become developments. This is a compromise to them. But we also need to make sure that the law also dictates to those people who are putting in solar farms and wind farms that they actually have to bond and have a bond that can do the cleanup in case they ever go out of business, so that it's not on the property owners that have to take care of the cleanup. So there are those kinds of things that the farmers talk to me about. And then we have a lot of farmers want to go to smart growth. It's totally science and technology related now. And we have a lot of dairy farmers, and we have cattle and other meat producers that have to travel to Pennsylvania with their livestock to go to a USDA-approved, I just lost the name of it, like where they butcher them.
Right.
And one of the Niagara County legislators is talking about putting one in Niagara County, like repurposing the Pfeiffer salad dressing that was in Wilson, that factory, and getting that to be a USDA-approved site. Because that way, you're losing money, and it's making it more expensive to have those things available to us. You can't just slaughter your meat and have it in tops.
Right.
So those kinds of things are things that they talk about and worry about.
And those prices are passed to us?
Yeah. Well, obviously.
Yeah. So running for the 144th, you talked about why you wanted to run for mayor. Why did you want to run for 144?
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I've been honest since the beginning.
All right.
I was going to take a break and just focus on finishing teaching. I can retire in 2027, and then I was going to make a decision on if I wanted to get involved more or just stay at the volunteer like I did prior to that, or if I wanted to run for mayor again once I was retired and they couldn't say you're only a part-time mayor. And then I was told Mike Norris was going to be appointed or put on the ballot for the New York State Supreme Court, and they were going to keep him on the ballot for assembly until after the primaries and slide in their next guy. And I'm just sick of those kind of games being played. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to run because I'm going to give the people of 144 a choice. And if I do win, I'll be a good choice. I will represent us well. So it's a win-win for the people of the 144th.
I have to say, so you and Paul, I had Paul in here last week. You guys have just nothing but nice things to say off the air about each other. Like it's the least contested. Like it's not like, oh, they're an awful person. Like, oh yeah, great. She's great. You go, oh, Paul's great. You guys have nothing but nice things to say to each other. I do think that's the way it's supposed to be, though, right? You have policy differences, but nothing personal.
Well, and we always work together. I'll be honest about this too. Not everybody plays nice.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a lot of people on the other side of the aisle. And I worked my first 3 years with a full Republican council, not one Democrat on the council. And I accomplished a lot of things because they knew what I was presenting made sense for our community. That you can't argue things that make sense.
Right.
And when you start arguing and then you see the community was like, what? We need this. You know, so then they changed their tune. But Paul and Mike Norris always were respectful with me and worked with me on issues. So you're right. And we were at the Newfane Bicentennial Parade, and he introduced me to his two kids and his wife. And I said, are you here all by yourself? Because I didn't see anybody else with him. I go, you can walk with us. He goes, oh, I have people. And I go, I know this. They'll probably be shocked that we would walk together. I said, but
two candidates walking side by side. I think that's a great vision for politics. I think we need to see more of it. Well, Michelle, thank you so much. What's next on the campaign for you as we head to November?
I'm having multiple meet and greets for the communities. I'm trying to get something together in Erie County. They're a little bit harder to get a place to talk politics with the community and get approval from places. But I'm going to be meeting at the Rapids Fire Hall on September 10th from 6 to 8. I'm going to be meeting at the Alkett Fire Hall on September 19th from 6 to 8. And I'm going to be meeting at the Wendelville and Pendleton Fire Hall on September 26th from 6 to 8. So that'll give people an opportunity to talk with me, ask me questions, give me their insight and the concerns that they have for the area. And I hope to have a few more of those. And then, of course, continuing to go door-to-door and attending community events. Labor Day tomorrow, we're walking in the parade in Clarence. So those kinds of things.
All right. Yeah, I heard the fireworks from the Clarence, what do they call it, the Clarence Labor Day Fair? That was
Clarence Center Volunteer Fire Department do it as their fundraiser.
Yeah, that's where my polling place is. So those fireworks are right in my backyard. Well, Michelle, thank you so much. She is running against Paul Bologna.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.